I'll say this, I appreciate all your prayers for me over the time of dealing with my brother's, you know, his estate or whatever you want to call it, if you want to call it an estate. But, you know, it's been almost a year and we finally settled it the other day. And I thought, man, oh man, this has been horrendous going through this. Former wife who inherited the company, her and her brother, they have to take care of the bills and everything now, so I'm out of that. Thank God for that. And I took the papers to the meeting with our lawyers and everything and presented her with all the papers, and I had a box stacked that high. And I gave it to her, and I said, you know, it's yours. Have fun, you know, basically. I mean, you know. But anyway, so thank God for your prayers, and I finally got through it, and that takes a lot of things off of my mind of dealing with, because I had a lot to deal with. And all I was trying to do during this whole thing was make sure that my niece, his only child, ended up getting something out of his estate. And she is going to get $100,000, so that's a good deal, you know. And I'm just thankful to the Lord that it all worked out. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get into this word today, and it's called, the title for it is A Great Inheritance. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come into your presence right now. I ask you, Lord, to just have your way. I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. I ask you to help me to share just the simplicity of your word out of this beautiful portions of scripture that we're going to share here today, because I feel like you're just going to really talk to us about a lot of things, and most of the stuff we already know. But I'm going to tell you, we need to be reminded sometimes of the goodness of you and your purposes for us and everything that you're planning on doing, even in our lives. And Father, I thank you and I give you the praise and the glory in the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Praise God. And I'm going to start off talking to you out of Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 3 through verse 23. And I'm going to be reading out of the English Standard Version of the Bible. It's pretty close to the King James. It isn't very different. But I like the way it says a few things a little bit different than what the King James says. But anyway, I'm starting off with verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." And I like the word "has." "Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." Now, I tell you what, sometimes I think we don't receive all of the blessings because we don't believe we have the blessings. And I'm going to tell you what, I believe part of receiving in God is believing in God. If you don't believe it, you won't receive it. And we have to start believing that He's blessing us in heavenly places. And I know He blesses me in heavenly places. And I know He blesses almost all of you in heavenly places. But I think sometimes we begin to look at the earthly things a little bit too much. And when we do, we kind of find ourselves slipping down into a depressed state or a worrisome state or whatever. I know in dealing with this thing with my brother, like I said before, I had to try to unravel all of his mess that he had in his finances and everything. He didn't have his finances very good, in very good order. And, you know, I had to do a lot of things to get things squared away where I could even tell what the world was going on with him. But thank God that I got through it all and that he helped me. And I've turned it over to somebody else now. And it's not my problem anymore, thank God. But anyway, and you know, when we realize He's blessed us in heavenly places, that heavenly places is not way off over the moon somewhere. Heavenly places is right here, right now. Because I got news for you. I love, Brother Eddie used to quote this scripture a lot, and John Moore, he'd say, "I have a Son of Man which am in heaven," talking about Jesus, when He was standing right there in front of them. And I'm sure they probably thought, well, He ain't in heaven, He's standing right here. But He was in heaven because He kept that heavenly attitude, that heavenly mind. And He only did that which He saw His Father do And he only did that which pleased the Father, the Spirit that was inside of him. He had it without measure. He was literally God standing there in flesh, because he was so one with the Father that he was the Father standing there. And, you know, they didn't understand that. So when he said some different things that brought that out, they kind of got mad at him. But I want you to know that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Boy, every spiritual blessing. That's pretty good. You know, not just a few, not just a couple, but every spiritual blessing. And in verse 4 it says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Do you know you're blameless? If somebody else tries to blame you for something, tell them, I'm blameless. Because Jesus said, I'm blameless. But anyway, let's go on a little bit further. And it says, he predestined us to the adoption of sons as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. And I love that word adoption there, because it literally has the meaning in Greek of placing of a son, or placing as a son. Do you realize that when you received him, you were placed as a son of God? And you say, well, Oscar, I'm a woman. Don't make any difference. In Christ, there's neither male nor female. You have the same rights, the same authority, the same privileges as any man does in Christ. You are a son of God. You have that power, that authority. And it says here, and he predestined us to the adoption of placing us as sons, or as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. You know, when you realize that God's purposes always come to pass. Now, we can either be willing participants in his purposes, or we can try to sort of kick against the gourds, like it says in the book of Acts, when he said to Saul, before he became Paul, when Jesus Christ appeared to him in a great light and told him, isn't it hard for you to kick against the cactus, basically. You ever tried to kick a cactus? You know, people in them days, they wore open-toed shoes. They didn't have shoes that covered their toes. They wore sandals. Can you imagine going out into the desert and one of them big Sorora cactuses or something there and saying, oh, man, here, let me kick this cactus a few times. You know, and you know, that's what we do sometimes in resisting the will of God and resisting what he's wanting to do. We bring a lot of pain and a lot of misery on ourselves. God isn't bringing it on you. You're bringing it on yourself because you're not moving and flowing with him the way that he wants you to. It says, to the praise of his glory, which he hath blessed us in the beloved. And I want you to know, when Jesus came forward to get baptized, there was a voice that spoke and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You know, and I'm going to tell you, when he looks at you, whether you realize it or not, he says, there's my beloved son. And I tell you what, there could be nothing greater said to make you feel good than in knowing that you're his beloved. You know, we used to sing that song, I'm my beloved and he is mine. His banner over me is love. And you know, there's a banner over top of me right now, if you look behind me, and that banner never fails. It never fails. Praise God. I am my beloved and he is mine. His banner over me is love. And he brought me into his banqueting house. His banner over me is love. I love that song. We don't sing some of them songs. We need to teach them to Frankie sometimes, because those are good songs. And they're true songs and they're spiritual songs, you know. It's called His Banner Over Me Is Love. It might not be in the songs if you try to find it, because it's a chorus. A lot of the choruses were Christian people came up with these choruses, you know. We'll have to write some of these out and give them to you sometime. Maybe I'll get Joey to do that. She's good at typing. I'm not very good at typing. But anyway, you know, we are blessed in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. You know, His grace, the riches of His grace is boundless. The riches of His grace is more than we can ever even imagine. And you know, I love the definition that Strong's has for grace in the Strong's Concordance, and that definition is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection out into the life. That's what His grace is all about. Him affecting your innermost being, your thoughts, your feelings, the way you react to things, and reflecting it out into your life. That's what His grace is all about. And you know, it says here, it says, in whom we have redemption through blood and forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. And you know, God wants to give you all wisdom and insight of the things that you need to know. He'll let you know what you need to know when you need to know it. Now, a lot of times we start asking God questions about things that we don't need to know yet. And we don't get an answer and we think, well, bless God. And we start looking for answers here and looking for answers there. But I'm going to tell you what, the things that He wants you to know, He'll let you know. You know. And it says, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purposes, which He set forth in Christ. And Galatians 1:15-16 says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, this is Paul talking, to reveal His Son in me. And I got news for you. That's part of the mystery up here of the verse 9, to make known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth. And part of that mystery is He wants to reveal His Son in you. And I love the word in Scripture. It's pronounced E-N, not I-N, but E-N. And what it means, it's the root of it is a primary preposition denoting a fixed position in place, time, or state, a relationship of rest. And I'm going to tell you what, this building is set upon a foundation. But it's not just set upon a foundation, it's fixed upon a foundation. When they poured the foundation of this building and they put all of those boards along the outside that they were going to put the walls up on everything, they drilled down through there and put anchors and everything else so that this building is fixed, you know, so when a big wind comes, it won't blow this building off the foundation or anything. It's in a fixed position. And I want you to know you're in a fixed position. Nothing can move you off of the love of God. We were talking about Romans, the 8th chapter, you know, back there in Sunday school a little bit, you know. And if you read Romans, the 8th chapter, I can read Romans, the 8th chapter and just read that, and I'd be fine. Because I tell you what, it talks about no condemnation. It talks about following the leading of the Holy Spirit. These are the sons of God. It talks about Him getting ready to take the lid off of the church. Because, you know, it says the whole creation is groaning, travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know what the manifestation is? That word manifestation there means to take the lid off. He's going to take the lid off of the church so that people can look in and see the Son of God. Right now when they look in, sometimes they see the Son of God. Sometimes they see Sister so-and-so that's mad at Brother so-and-so over there or whatever. And sometimes people come into church and they think, man, why do I want to go to church for? I can get this out in the world, you know. But you know what? The day's coming when we're going to show the love of God, that all that stuff's going to fall by the wayside, all the hurt feelings and all the other things that go on. And then I love the last verses in there where it says, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor mights nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And you know why? Because we're fixed in Him. We're fixed in Him. And when you're fixed in Him, that's a great place to be. And it says, anyway, and go back to verse 10. I like this. I'll read verse 9 and go back to verse 10 again in Ephesians. It says, verse 9 says, making known unto us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. Verse 10, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, fixed in him, unmovable in him, in state, time, and relationship, and even a place of rest. Things in heaven and things on the earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, you know what? Years ago, one time I was in a Sunday school class, and they were talking, and they were being a little bit on the negative side, and I quoted that scripture, and I had a person say to me, well, you can't believe that. That he works all things after the counsel of his own will? I said, oh, I do. I believe it. Because God showed it to me. I mean, when I read that, when I was studying into Ephesians when I was a real young Christian, that just jumped off the page at me. And I thought, well, God, if you work in all things after the counsel of your own will, then you're in control of everything. And you know what? We tend to think sometimes that God's not in control of this or in control of that. I got news for you. That war that's going on over there, God's allowing that to happen. Now, we don't know all of the positiveness that'll come out of that, and we don't get to see it. I mean, there's a lot of negative things if you just look at it in the natural. But I tell you what, God's allowing it to happen for some reason. And I don't know what, and I don't know why. And a lot of times we think we ought to have all the answers for everything. Well, we don't. But thank God that he does. But anyway, he works all things according to the counsel of his will. And the next verse says, so that we, who were the first hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of faith of the gospel of your salvation, believed in him, and I'd like to almost change that to into him, or into that fixed relationship, you know, where were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that word for sealed there means to be stamped with a signet ring. And you know, in the old times when the king wanted something to be official, if the king gave you a paper and said, go tell this village over here that this is what I want done, and he gave you that paper and he stamped that with his ring, when you took that paper over there, guess what? You were the king standing over there as far as they were concerned. They had to do exactly what was on that paper. And let me tell you what, you've been sealed or stamped with God's seal in a fixed position, and I'm going to tell you, when you speak his word, it's him speaking, it's not you, okay? You have all that authority and all that power. And it says, in him also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was sent to lead and guide us into all truth. Now, the problem is sometimes we don't listen when God speaks to us. You ever feel like God spoke to you and told you to do something and you didn't do it? And you seen what the results were after that? They weren't real good. You know, I mean, it's easier to do what God speaks to your heart when he speaks to your heart to do it. And it says, who is the guarantee of our inheritance? We have a guaranteed inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And you know, part of how we require the possession of it is by yielding to the Holy Spirit, by doing what God tells you to do when he tells you to do it. We were talking about prophecy back there in Sunday school. And you know, when God gives you a prophetic word for somebody, don't stand around and reason that word. Don't stand around and try to figure out that word. Go and give that person that God inspired you to give it to, give it to them. If you feel like you're supposed to go over to sister over here and say, sister, God, I feel like God told me to tell you that he really loves you and that everything's going to be all right, go and do exactly what God told you to do. That and that only. Knowing that whatever God's going to do there, he's in charge of it. You're not, you know. But I just want you to understand that sometimes we have a tendency that we hold back in doing what God wants us to do. And it says, go ahead a little further. It says, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love toward all saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And I love this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. You know, in James it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he'll give it to you liberally, and he'll not make you feel foolish. And when you don't understand something, don't act like you do. Tell the Lord, I don't understand this. And you know what? If it's time for you to understand it, he'll give it to you. He'll let you understand it. I'm going to tell you what, some of the things that God has shown me over the years that I've shared with you guys, he showed me a lot of those things 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And a lot of times 40 years ago, some of the things that I've shared with you, I wasn't hearing them preached by anybody. And I know when God began to deal with me about the sovereignty of God, you know, Brother Eddie used to struggle with that. He struggled with the sovereignty of God. Because I remember when Preston Eby came through and he preached on that some, and Ray Prinzing preached on that some. And Brother Eddie was struggling with it because I was around him enough to know he was struggling with that. But God showed me that when I first got saved. But I'm going to tell you what, I rejoiced when I heard them brothers saying that stuff. I thought, well, praise God, I'm hearing it from somebody else too, you know. But Brother Eddie was moved up into believing in the sovereignty of God and believing those things. And I mean, some of the brothers and older brothers in here years ago, I had to emphasize that to them because they struggled with it a little bit too. But when you realize that the word Lord means sovereign controller, if he's in control, guess what? What's the controller do? He controls. It's that simple. And if he's the sovereign, that means there's nobody above him. He's above it. So I want you to know that that he'll give you the wisdom and the knowledge and the revelation in him in his time. And if you ask God something and say, God, I don't understand this, if it's the time for you to understand it, he'll reveal it to you. And a lot of times he'll reveal it to you out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. He'll speak it to your heart first, and then he'll open it up, and other people will share it too. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might. And he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him on his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, and power, and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all things. Now, think about that. If he fills all things, are all things out there full of him? Yes, they are. They might not know it. They might not have come to that understanding yet. But I tell you what, the day's coming. You know, Romans the 8th chapter, we was talking about that. And you know, he said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And it goes ahead and says, the expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. And it goes ahead and says, because all creation. How much is all creation? Ain't it everything? Shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption and have their inheritance in God. Wow. Wow. You don't hear that preached out there, but I'm going to tell you what, that's what the Word says. Go back and read it for yourself. And I'm going to share one more scripture with you, and then I'm going to share a poem with you, and I'm going to close. In Hebrews 3, 1 through 8, and then I'm going to share verse 14 also. This is out of the Message Bible. I like the way this says this. It says, my dear Christian friends, companions in following this call to the heights. I like that. To the heights. Not to the lows, but to the heights. Because when you follow this call to the heights, you're going to follow it up into the throne room of God, because that's where the heights are, in the throne room of God. And that throne room's not way up yonder somewhere. It's right inside of you. Because know you not, the scripture says, know you not that you're the temple of God. And if the temple of God dwells in you, then the heights is going to come up inside of you. But anyway, it says, my dear Christian friends and companions, in following this call to the heights, take a good hard look at Jesus. He is the centerpiece of everything we believe. Wow. He's the pattern son, folks. He's the one, he's the fulfillment of what God said in Genesis when he said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, and let him have dominion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it tells us that he was the last Adam. Said the first Adam was of the earth earthly, and the last Adam was made a living spirit, a life-giving spirit. And that was Jesus. And that's what he wants us to be, that life-giving spirit also, because we're a part of his body. We're a part of him. See? And it says, and Christ as son in charge of this house. And now, if we can keep a firm grip on this bold confidence, and it says, we're the house, okay? And like I told you, 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, know ye not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. You're his house. You don't have to go up to bring him down or down to bring him up. Word of faith is nigh you. It's in your heart and it's in your mouth. It's right inside of you. If you'll get quiet and still and say, Lord, I know you're there. I know you're there. That is why the Holy Spirit says today, please listen. Do not turn a deaf ear as in the bitter uprising, the time of testing in the wilderness. You know, God wanted to speak to the children of Israel after they came out of Egypt to them, and they didn't want him. They didn't want to hear him. They wanted Moses to speak to them. They wanted somebody else. And I got news for you. I was telling that young man, and I've told you all this a million times, but I'm going to repeat it again. Best piece of advice I ever got when I first got saved. My mother, the Lord hid it from her. You know, she was very receptive spiritually. I was driving to work with her every day. She didn't know anything was going on with me. And boy, I don't know how she didn't know it, because man, I was in a turmoil until God got a hold of me. And you know what? When the Lord finally got a hold of me, and I was up her house for on a Sunday dinner, and she said to me, she said, son, what's going on with you? And I told her, I said, I gave my life to the Lord. And she said, you know, we talked a little bit, and she said, God hid that from me. Because she was very receptive spiritually. I mean, I've told you all about, we lived 2 miles down the street from her, and me and Margaret be fussing because we were a young married couple, like young married couples do. And we'd get a phone call, and she'd say, I was in praying, and God showed me you two, brought you two before me. What's going on down there? I'd say, well, nothing, Mother. I'd lie, you know, nothing, Mother. I wasn't a Christian then. I'd lie, nothing, Mother. She'd say, well, she said, I'm praying for you two, you know, or something. I'd say, okay, you know, But she said, God hid that from me. And she said, I've got one piece of advice for you. Learn to know God for yourself. Nobody else can know him for you. And I tell you what, you as being a parent, a grandparent, or anything else, you can want your kids to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't have that relationship for them. Only they can have it. And only as they, sometimes as they see Christ in you, will they, that make them desire to have it, you know. And I'm going to tell you, my mother wasn't perfect, but I'm going to tell you what, she was a sweet lady, and she loved God. And her name was Irene, and Irene means messenger of peace. And many, many times I would hear her sitting and talking on the phone for hours, not for 15 minutes or something. She'd sit there for hours talking to her sisters and different ones, and she'd just be encouraging them. That's all you'd hear coming out of her mouth. Oh, honey, it'll be okay. God bless you, you know, and all this kind of stuff. That's all you'd hear. Not nothing negative, nothing bad, you know. And that's exactly what you'd say over and over and over. Praise the Lord. So that's why the Holy Spirit says today, please listen. Don't turn a deaf ear in the bitter uprising, the time of the wilderness of testing. And I'm going to tell you what, you as being a Christian, we all go through some testing. We all go through some wildernesses at times. We all go through some things that we don't understand at times. And sometimes we question God, Lord, why in the world is this happening? What's going on here? But I'm going to tell you what, just keep your faith in him, keep praising him, keep lifting him, magnifying him. Everything will be fine. And it says, in this next verse, it says, if we can only keep our grip on the sure thing we started out with, we're in this with Christ for the long haul. And I got news for you. He that has begun a good work in you will complete it. He'll bring it into perfection because he's the master. He's the master sculptor. He's the one that forms and fashions us. And a lot of times we think we have more to do with it than we really do. I got news for you. But all we can really do is just praise him and just magnify him and just move and flow with him when he wants us to move and flow, you know. And I felt like I was supposed to share this poem today, and this is one I wrote a few years ago. And it's just called Jesus. And it says, when your life is full of turmoil and you know not where to go, when it seems you've lost all promise, there's just one thing you should know. There's someone who loves you just the way you are, and he'll never, ever leave you, and he's never very far. He's as close as a whisper or even a silent prayer, and his presence will calm the raging storm and free you from despair. When you speak the name of Jesus, all heaven is on your side. When you speak the name of Jesus, your problems cannot abide. They must bow to the beauty and the power of that name, for there's no other given, and it always remains the same. Jesus, the name above all names. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, the love of God revealed. Jesus, where broken lives are healed. Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. And I know this has been a little teaching here today, Lord, but help us to realize that you're in control of all this and that you've already placed us into that sonship level. You know, we may not be all we're going to be, but we're exactly what you want us to be right where we're at. And that's a relationship with you that we have, that because of your DNA, and I'm going to call it DNA because it's the building blocks of life, but your building blocks of life are inside of us. And we're going to grow to maturity, and we're going to come to the unity of the faith, unto the really mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I thank you that you're in the process of doing that more and more for us each and every day. And as we come to that place, we're going to speak the truth in love, and we're going to grow up into you in all things. And that's what people out in the world need to do, is hear the people speak to them the truth in love. And you are the truth, Father. And if we speak about you in love and show people the love of God, then their lives are going to be changed. And I just thank you for what you're going to do. I thank you for this, these faithful people that have come out here today. I thank you and I ask you to just bless them abundantly, Father, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And I give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you all. If anybody wants prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. Praise God. If anybody